Every year I realize it's, even though I've lived long enough that you should get used to this after a while, it feels odd to be into a new year and have to get used to new numbers and January again. Some of us are entering a week of holiday today. Some of you have been off work or off school the past week. And so tomorrow is going to feel like a big change. Others of us had a regular work week last week probably, and tomorrow isn't going to feel all that different. And maybe the rest of you are like me, where I can have a mix of holiday and work. We did some work preparing for today and the weeks to come, but we also, Nita and I, spent a full day with each of our extended families, and our daughter and son-in-law spent 5 days with us this past week, and so we've had a mix of holiday as well. And so tomorrow will feel like a bit of a change. But as we step into this new year, if you haven't already done so, I'd invite you or urge you to think about what lies ahead, about what's in store for you in the year to come. Are there some major developments ahead for you that you already know about? Are there some themes that stand out that you know you can anticipate or expect? As I thought about that a little bit, I thought of three things that stand out to me that are going to shape my year, and because of that, because of what they are, they're going to impact all of us, really. And Amy has already mentioned two of those. One is that Josh and Becca McCullough we're planning for them to arrive here in Mount Joy tomorrow, and the expectation is that he will start work here in mid-January or so. And so we'll have a new staff person, a new youth pastor, which will be a big change for us and will impact all of the year to come for me and for all of us. Another new theme for me is that I'm planning to take some sabbatical time this year, probably May, June, July timeframe, something like that. So I'm looking forward to that as an opportunity. I'm thinking about how to make good use of that time, and also we're planning for how to cover my tasks in my absence in that period of time. So that's going to impact me and all of us. And the third one is the continuing focus that Amy's already mentioned this morning of our focus on outreach to our neighbors who live around our church building that we've been working with this during the school year, people who live within a one-mile radius of this church building. And as I think about those themes and as you think about what's in the year ahead for you, I'd invite you to think about this question that we've offered as our title this morning. What can God do in 2022? What can God do, or what will God do, or maybe what might God want to do? What might God want to do within us, within you? What might God want to do among us in our congregation? And what might God want to do around us in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods? How will God shape me? How will God shape you in this year in the context of these developments? How will God shape us as a congregation? How might we see the kingdom of God come more fully in all of those places? And by the kingdom of God, remember, we're talking about the places where God is clearly in charge, where the rule of God is clearly what's ruling or reigning. That's what we mean when we talk about the kingdom of God. So especially as we move in this month of January, I invite you to be prayerfully pondering these questions. And especially as we enter into these 21 days of prayer, which will start next Sunday. And to think about, what are you sensing? What are you seeing with your spiritual eyes? And what are you hearing God say to you, either about your own journey, about our journey together as a congregation, or about our journey in our communities? As you begin to sense answers to those questions, I'd invite you to let us know about that, to let me know or someone on our ministry team. We'd be very glad to hear from you about that. And for some of you, that's all you needed to hear today. Some of you are active and eager listeners in prayer, eager to hear God's voice for us. And my invitation to you is, especially in this month of January, to be listening on our behalf, and that inviting you to let us know what you hear so that we can discern together what God might be saying. So this is our focus question for this morning. What can God do? Actually, I realized as I was preparing again for this morning that in some sense, every Sunday, every sermon we preach is trying to answer this question in one way or another, isn't it? What can God do? I hope that every kind of teaching you hear is some answer to that question, and we'll continue to answer this question in many ways over the months and years to come. But I have three answers to this question for you this morning to highlight, just three among the many answers we could give. And the first and very simple answer, but I think it's helpful to be reminded of this answer, is God can do anything God wants to do. God can do anything God wants to do. I mean, after all, we are talking about the one true God. The God we worship is the one true God, the three in one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God who created us and created everything that we've known, the entire material world that we've known. This is the God who, in a way that we don't fully understand, simply called all of this into being by the word of his mouth. The God who formed us from that material and who breathed his own life into us. This is the God who is the eternal God, the all-powerful God. And that's why I say God can do anything God wants to do. He is the all-powerful God, the everywhere present God, the infinitely complex God, the fully mature in love God, the joyfully creative God, whose only limits are his character and his nature. And what I mean by that is that the only things that God cannot do are things that contradict who he is. So God can't sin, for example. God can't sin. God can't be overcome or overpowered. God can't fail to love. God cannot die. The only limits on what God can do are his character and his nature. So what can God do? Anything God wants to do that doesn't contradict his character or his nature. For some other segment of you, that's all you needed to hear this morning. Just to be reminded that we serve an all-powerful God who can do anything he wants to do. A miracle-working God who sometimes intervenes in ways that are just incredible to us and beyond our imagining. God can do anything he wants to do. But you may be thinking, okay, well, that's great. I learned that in Sunday school. I learned that a long time ago. But what can God do for me? What can God do for my family? What can God do for us as a congregation or through us? And some of us, I think, are struggling to believe that God will do what we wish for God to do. We're struggling to believe that God will do what we want God to do, because we're grieving the loss of opportunity, or we're grieving the loss of a family member or a friend. We're grieving the loss of a job, or maybe the loss of physical health or some kind of decline in our own situation. Or maybe we're having trouble believing God because we're still in this kind of weird partial hold because of COVID. And you think, oh God, can't you click your fingers and release us from this? Or maybe you're just feeling discouraged because your life isn't going the way you hoped it would. Or maybe you're discouraged because of how our congregation has changed in the last 12 to 18 months. If I'm describing how you feel, I have some good news for you in my second answer to this question of what God can do. And the answer is God can fill you with hope. God can fill you with hope. And I urge you to receive this prayer of blessing from the Apostle Paul from later in the same book that Amy read from this morning. In Romans 15, Paul writes this blessing that I urge you to receive from him and from me this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work within you. May you overflow with hope in this new year, because God can fill you to overflowing with hope. In the Bible, especially in the New Testament, when you see the word hope, I invite you to drop in this phrase: confident expectation that God will keep his promises. Whenever you see the word hope, like I just read for you from Romans 15, what he means by that word is confident expectation that God will keep his promises. And my prayer for you is that you will overflow with that kind of hope in this new year. There's actually a mutually reinforcing relationship here in this verse between joy and peace on the one hand and hope on the other hand. This confident expectation that God will keep his promises. The more joy and peace we have in our lives, the way the logic of this verse reads, it sounds like the more joy and peace we have, the more hope we'll have. But we also know that the more hope we have, the more confident we are that God will keep his promises, the more our lives are filled with joy and with peace beyond our understanding. Friends, God is able to fill you with so much joy and so much peace as you trust in him that your experience will be that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will just be filled to overflowing with the confident expectation that God will keep his promises. Maybe not always in exactly the way you wish or you expect, but God will keep his promises. So friends, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work within you. And may we as a congregation have that experience to collectively share a shared experience. May the God of hope fill us as a congregation with all joy and peace as we together trust in him so that together as a congregation, we may be a people who overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work within us and among us. So God can do whatever God wants to do, and God can fill you with hope. And for some other segment of you, that's all you needed to hear today. The third answer to that question is God can bring salvation. God can bring salvation. This is in the verses that Amy read for us this morning from Romans 1, where Paul says, and I'm reading from the NIV translation, "I'm obligated, Paul says, to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel. The whole story of the Lord Jesus, his birth, his death, his resurrection, all of what he said and did. I'm eager to talk about that, to preach that to you, also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of that story and of the power it releases because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The gospel is the power of God to bring salvation to us." There's a lot of meaning packed into that word salvation, save or salvation. It's used frequently in the New Testament, and it means much more than I can walk through this morning, but it at least means that God can forgive our sins, that God can release us from the trap of sin, that God can adopt us as his own children, that God can change our lives. God can change, the power of the gospel will change your life. And many of us know that from experience, don't we? We know what it is to have our sins be forgiven. We know what it is to be released from the trap of sin that we were bound up in an earlier season of our lives. We know what it is to be adopted as the dearly beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. We know that God has changed our lives. We know that we're not the people we would be if those things hadn't happened in our lives. We are not, you and I, many of us are not the people we would be today if God hadn't forgiven our sins, especially if he hadn't released us from the trap of sin, if he hadn't adopted us as his children and come to live within us, to change us by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. And because that's true, we're eager to let the people around us know that God can change your life. We're eager to let people know what God can do. And one of the ways that we're channeling that eagerness, Paul talks about his eagerness to preach the gospel, one of the ways we channel that eagerness has been specifically this year to focus on the 1 mile radius around our church building, to focus our outreach energies together on making sure that the people who live within this 1 mile radius, at least by the end of next summer, we want the people around us in that 1 mile radius to know three things. One is that we're here. We want them to know that we're here, that we're not just a pretty building to drive by on Musser Road or to look at from across the way, but that there are people here and that God is at work here. Secondly, we want people to know that God is at work among us. And thirdly, we want them to see us as a source of blessing and hope. We want our neighbors to know that wherever they're at in their lives right now and however far away they are from God or want to stay from God, that when the time comes, they would know that they could come and knock on our door. They could send us an email. They could call us up and they could say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for the power of God to change my life. And so we've been asking, one of the things we've been asking in prayer over the last several months is for God to bring salvation in a fresh way to us and to our surrounding neighbors, especially to people who are new believers, who come to faith in Christ for the first time, or people who have turned away from church for one reason or another, people who are, we consider, the term for that is de-churched, People who've had a hurtful experience or a disappointing experience in some way and have turned away from church. And so this morning, we want to renew and continue that focus in the new year. And I want to say to those of you who are here in the room or following with us remotely, who have joined us in the last few months, that you're an answer to prayer. That you're an answer to prayer. We're delighted to know that God is at work among you. And I'm just delighted to receive phone calls and emails from some of you who have found us online and have started worshiping with us on live stream. And some of you say, well, I haven't quite worked up the courage to join you in person yet, but I'm following you faithfully online. And so thanks be to God for that. I think Jeremy prayed earlier this morning that God would just reach through whatever way you're connecting with God, not just with us, but with God, so that the transforming power of the Holy Spirit would be at work in your life in the way that we're talking this morning. And maybe it will be that this emphasis will inspire various ones of us who don't live within this 1 mile radius. Not all of us do. Maybe this will inspire you to be praying for and alert to what God is doing in the 1 mile radiuses around your house or around your school or around your workplace. Because God isn't only at work here. We just said, well, we need a focus for our collective energy, something we do together as a congregation. But obviously God is at work wherever you are in your day-to-day lives. I thought it might be helpful this morning to just review some of the things that we've been doing and some of the things we hope to do specifically with this focus in mind as we move into the new year. And as I do that, I want to remind you, as Zechariah says, not to despise small beginnings, not to dismiss what look like small efforts, because small beginnings can produce incredible impact over time. One of the things that came immediately to mind as I thought about that is my tomato plants. One of the few vegetables I have space to grow is tomatoes. And so I plant seedlings in the spring. Some of you probably start yours from seeds, and I haven't graduated to that level of mastery yet. But I just buy some seedlings at the local store. I put them in the ground, and then I put these enormous cages over them, and they look about that size. They look tiny. And for the first few weeks, I check on them regularly, and I think, grow. I remember that you used to, you know, last summer you got really huge, but the first few weeks, it doesn't look like very much happens. But guess what? After 2 to 3 months, they become huge and they outgrow whatever cage I put them in. And so they look more like the second photo, right? Over just 3 months' time, they get huge. And I'm trimming them back to just, or I'm looping them over, you know, other cages so that to contain them. By the end of the summer, they outgrow even the largest cages. Small beginnings can have a large impact. Another example is I thought about raising children and being a parent, where when you're raising or teaching children, whether you're a teacher or a parent, any one day or any one week can be just thrilling, or it can be maddening, right? It can be, and some days are a mix of the two in the same day. Sometimes everything is working out great, and other times you think, I don't know why I'm wasting my time with this. They're not getting it. It's not getting through. Why are my kids so nasty to each other? What is going on? Sometimes it takes years to see the lessons mature in the good dirt of their hearts. But we keep tending to their hearts. We keep nurturing growth day by day, week by week, month by month. The months turn into years. Our two sons really struggled with this. We have two sons who are about 6 years apart, and our daughter is in the middle. And in a certain season of their growing up, our younger son wanted desperately to be 6 years older and be able to do everything his older brother was doing. And our older son wanted desperately to be released from this little child who was chasing him around and trying to duplicate everything he was doing. So we were locked. It just felt like in this endless cycle that went on for month after month, and you feel like year after year of squabbles and tears and whack and anger and punishments. But guess what? You can't hear, but Nita's laughing. We walked that journey together. But guess what? Those two young men ended up standing next to each other at each other's wedding. Not because of anything their mother or I suggested to them, but because they had come to love and respect each other enough to ask each other to stand with them in their wedding party. And I can tell you that as a father of grown children, there's nothing that warms our hearts more than to see our children, our adult children, our three adult children, encouraging each other, enjoying each other, and supporting each other. And that helps me to realize that the same thing is true in the family of God, that small investments in loving relationships, whether it's in our community of faith here or whether it's with the people around us in the communities, small investments in loving relationships can have huge impacts in the years to come. And I think there's nothing that warms God's heart. I think the scriptures are clear about this. There's few things that warm God's heart more than to see his children enjoying, encouraging, and supporting each other. Remember that Jesus said the kingdom of God, that the place where God is clearly in charge, is like a mustard seed. It starts tiny, 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 but it grows into a huge plant. And one of the things that means is that patience is an essential part of cooperating with God's timing. Patience is an essential part of cooperating with God's timing. As I said earlier, God can and certainly does do miracles. That is absolutely true, and we pray for those regularly. But it's also true that God has designed most things to mature over time, to develop over time. He's designed most things to grow into maturity and into strength, rather than leaping instantly into maturity and strength. So both of those things are certainly true in the kingdom of God. So over this past year, over this past several months, we've done a number of things to sharpen our focus on our 1 mile radius. And one of the things that we did at the very beginning and have continued to do is to invite you to pray for people who are far away from God or people who are de-churched in some way. Pray that they would come to new life in Christ, both through our ministry and through other ministries in this area, but to be praying. And we've reminded you about this, I think, I didn't go back and check, but I think in every prayer update that we've sent on an every other week basis, it's included at least some mention of praying for the folks in our 1 mile radius. If you're not on our email distribution list, scroll down to the bottom of our homepage, type your email address in there, and you'll be able to receive those updates as well. Every other week or so, we send out a prayer update, and we've been praying regularly as a congregation, as a ministry team, that God would reach out in a special way this year to the folks who are in our 1 mile radius. In early September, we had our annual picnic, which is sometimes called a church picnic. We call it a community picnic. And this year, because of this focus on our 1 mile radius, we moved the picnic across the street to the park at the lakes. And we weren't sure how the logistics were going to work out, but it turned out beautifully. If you were there, you remember we also were fortunate to get very gorgeous weather, but we sent out a postcard to our neighbors inviting them to come enjoy free food and free fun, and there was plenty of both of those. There were lots of new faces at that picnic, a lot of people I didn't recognize. There was a great turnout, and we had people from all across our congregation there as well. We got some thank you notes the following week from people who were our guests, and some of you maybe discovered us through that event and are here today because of that. And as I said earlier, you're an answer to prayer, and we're delighted to see God at work in your life. We also had some new children come to our Pioneer Clubs, our midweek program for children. And word filtered back to me that there was one little boy whose grandmother brought him to the picnic, who then found out about the Pioneer Clubs, who came to Pioneer Clubs. And one of the things he said to his grandmother was, "Grandma, why haven't you brought me here before? These kids know so much more than me. This is so much fun. Why haven't you brought me to this before? We live right across the street." So in the fall, we also started up, as Amy mentioned, we're resuming this week, but we started in September, our Pioneer Clubs programming for children. Our women's Bible studies started up in September, serving women, building community among the women who study together. Our Wednesday evening group has been particularly effective at helping women find new hope and new connections and to see their lives changed as they love and care for each other and open themselves up to the power of the gospel. And some of you are here today because of that group or the women's Bible studies groups, and we're delighted that God has used them to touch your lives in this way. We also started up our Helping Hands meal, which is a pretty regular feature, but also opened that up to the community the third Wednesday of each month, offering a free meal to people who usually eat alone or for people who would welcome a free meal. And so that's a monthly event here as well. You heard Amy mention the prayers that we engage with for our local schools, not just for Donegal schools, but for the administrators and teachers and administrators, teachers, staff in all of our local school districts who are really kind of caught between this school year, between so many different opinions and the directives that they have for how they do their work. And so we have been supporting them in prayer and asking God to have mercy on them, to give them wisdom, and to protect them, I guess, from the folks who are making physical threats against them and who are making them feel afraid just to be in the roles that they're in and to be making decisions. In October, we did a trunk or treat event in our parking lot. We had a number of cars that were decorated. Their trunks were open and decorated, offering candy. This was the Wednesday before Halloween. We did a Facebook boost of that event, and we probably had about a dozen different households from the neighborhood show up. Our Pioneer Club kids went out from the building to enjoy that, but then we had some people come in from the local community to be part of that. Just later that week, we offered free lunches to the folks who live in the Nestle Chocolate Factory apartments. We had a sign-up sheet there and took our children helped to put together and then deliver several boxes full of free lunches for them. And in December, we also took I'm not sure if this is a monthly feature, but I know in December we took leftovers from our Helping Hands Christmas meal to the Nestle Chocolate Factory apartments as well. And we've received thank you notes in the office. One person wrote and said, "I really appreciate the thought." Another person, "I really enjoyed the meal you provided today. I said a special thank you for all of you who helped to provide it." So blessing coming back to us from our neighbors. And another, my favorite card was the one that said, "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. All thank you for always thinking of 951 Wood Street apartments." There it is. We want our neighbors to see us as a source of hope and blessing. And at least one of them is sending us a thank you note, hopefully speaking for many, many others, to say, "Thank you for always thinking of us. I really appreciate it." Early December, we went caroling. We took two wagons around to the communities around us. We handed out bags of cookies and invitations to our Christmas Eve service. One thing that surprised me was how many people weren't home. But there were a lot of people who were home, and quite a few of them came out and thanked us and wished us a Merry Christmas. One woman came out kind of smiling and laughing, I think with a little young girl, and she said, "Can I take your picture?" She said, "My family in New York is never going to believe this." And I think she was recording our wonderful voices as we sang for her. But she also took our picture and sent it off to somewhere in New York. Other people came out and were singing with us as well. Some of us had never been caroling before, so it was a chance for us to experience that as well. Also in December, later in the month, we gave $500 to the Chamber of Commerce as a congregation to participate in a fundraiser that they were doing for homeless students, homeless families. They were asking us to support gift cards, to fund gift cards that they could pass on to the Donegal school system to provide for 30 families that they've identified, or I think it's 30 students or 30 households that they've identified as being meeting some definition of homelessness. And we got an email about that just last week, a thank you from the woman who coordinates this program for the school district. She said, "Many families have been completely blown away, especially since they had no idea they were getting anything." Oh, by the way, the fundraiser brought in over $8,700 through the Chamber of Commerce. So this isn't branded with our name, but we're participating in a community outreach to bless folks in our local school district. Blown away, no idea that we're getting. I had several people cry when they opened the envelope I handed them. One person said, "Wow, thank you so much. This will be very helpful to our family." Another, "Thank you so much. I cannot say it enough. This will help so much as I continue work on rebuilding my life for me and my children." Another, "How incredible that people who do not even know us would be so kind and generous. I'm blown away." And then the woman who was handing envelopes out said, "This is having a huge impact on our community. Your generosity and your love are having a huge impact in our community." The next activity was our Christmas Eve service just a week or so ago, where we also then offered cookies and hot drinks afterwards. We sent out a postcard to our neighbors letting them know about our Christmas Eve service. We did a Facebook boost. And if you were here along with me, you probably saw there were many faces here I didn't recognize. Now, some of them were family members who were from out of town, some of your family members perhaps, but some of them, I'm guessing, were also our neighbors who came and participated in that worship service with us. So some of these, we've already seen some impact. All of them are in some ways a beginning, an additional step of blessing our neighbors. In January, we've already mentioned our 21 days of prayer. And as Amy said, you can get a head start on those 21 days if you're a man. Come join us on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. and you can get a head start. Another project, we're working on goodie bags for the Donegal and Crable teachers and staff. Teachers and staff of all of the Donegal schools and the Crable Mennonite school. Janelle Metter is coordinating this with our Pioneer Club's children. And she tells me that means we need to prepare 425 bags. 425 goodie bags for the teachers and the staff of those schools. I think it's four schools. To just bless them and say, we're with you. God bless you in your work. We appreciate the work that you're doing. We'll continue to reach out in January and in the months to come through Pioneer Clubs, Women's Bible Studies, and Helping Hands Meals. If you are looking for a place to invest some time and energy, I highly recommend all three of those. We never have too many volunteers for Pioneer Clubs. We can always use help with the Women's Bible Studies and with the Helping Hands Meals as well. We're also likely going to repeat our Lunch on Us, the free lunches that we offered. That was such a simple project, and it was a way to involve our children in blessing our neighbors. And another thing that we're thinking about is this summer, I think one of the things that would fit our congregation and fit this outreach focus very nicely is to partner with Love, Inc. They have something they call Compassion Projects, which are local service projects that they coordinate through congregations. And this idea came about several years ago when a local church said, hey, is there a way for us to stay home and do a missions project together? Often we leave town and go help do some repairs for people in a remote place. Could we do that in our own home community? And so they went to Love, Inc., which is a local service organization that we support, and Love, Inc. helped them to coordinate and identify local needs. And then the congregations, people in the congregations work together to meet those needs. And it's a focus week or two in the summer that you do this. So I think that would fit really well. That's an idea at this point, not a plan. But if you would love to help us coordinate something like that, I'd be delighted to hear from you. So that's a lot of information. Let me come back to where we started. What can God do? What can God do in 2022? Well, we've said God can do anything he wants to. God can fill you with hope. God can fill you with hope if you will put your trust in him. Whether it's for the first time or whether you put your trust in him again in a fresh way today and in this month of January, God can fill you with the confident expectation that he will keep his promises. And I urge you to reach out for that, to ask the Lord for that as you trust in him. And God can bring salvation. God can bring salvation. He can forgive your sins. He can release you from the trap of sin that you feel trapped by, stuck in. And God will adopt you as his dearly beloved child. God can change your life. God can change your life. And I urge you to let him do any and all of these things within you, among us, and around us as we move into this new year. Let's pray.